Good morning, Unleashed Lund Loyalists. Thanks for tuning in live each weekday at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. Remember, please like and subscribe and listen where you get your podcasts. Be on the lookout for Lund Loyalists perks by joining the club. And if you really want your comments read during the show, you can use supers and stickers. Now, as close to on time as he gets, here's Johnny.
Yes. Good morning. Hope you are outstanding. Some people questioned whether I was going to be here today. Ultra respect to Martin Luther King Day today, but yeah, we can't take today, huh? No way. Too much going on. Way too much with the NFL playoffs that we have to discuss. The national championship is tonight. Notre Dame and Ohio State. The Celtics are in town. No chance. Can't take today off. Did a Saturday show. Hope you were here for the Saturday show. Went quite well. Thank you very much. If you weren't here, I understand. You got stuff to do. It's not like you can hang out here all day. Come on, man. You know, I totally get that. Look at that, man. We already got everybody in here. This is beautiful. Daniel is here. Deus is here. Vernon is here. Joy is here. Nathan, good morning to you. Let's see. Enrique, Hurley Bird. Sports girl for life. Morning. Lions gonna lion. I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you that the Lions were gonna get lion, and a bunch of my friends who I texted, not in a negative fashion, but just said, "Hey, I'm sorry, bro." They wouldn't even come back to me. Unbelievable. Let's see. Hello, John. Hello, AJ. Good to see you as well. Everybody is in the house. Hello, Tacky. Good to see you, my friend. Steve, one of my favorites, is here as well. You're all my favorites. JJ Raider is here. Skills Report, my man, is here. Skills Report. So everybody is in the house on this day. I know it is maybe early on a day that is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but absolutely great. So we got a ton to talk about today. I was trying to get Mikey P, Mike Pereira, on today because we have a lot to do. So that may happen. But man, a lot to discuss, including, and as you see, is the right-hand side in the chalkboard. If you're new to the show, thank you. For making the time for our show today, as we are here no matter what, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. We do emergency shows as needed. The website is good enough. I'm still working on the front page, but if you want to know everything about the show or what we're doing or how to subscribe or any of those kind of things, all you have to do is go to johnlundunleashed.com. I'm also on all your social medias at John Lund Radio. We are streaming live not only on YouTube, but on Instagram. Let me check my people over on Instagram. They are here as well. So we're here on Instagram. We're here on X. We're here on YouTube. Make sure that please you're subscribing. You're telling all your friends and enemies. You're giving us the likes, all those kind of things that help around here. So thank you so much, as we'll get into a ton of different things. As you can see on the right side there and the chalkboard, this is episode 36, NFL weekend, from Jaden Daniels. So I have a bit of an apology, but not a huge one. I'll explain. Lion's gonna lion, as I told you, and on social media, a lot of people hit me up with that, but I told you so. Mahomes and the refs, that's gonna be something. The Eagles, the Bills, Lamar, we got some Lamar video for you. Mr. Poole came in town and said, "I like most everybody over there," after he torched the Warriors, but the Warriors end up getting a win. And remember when we were talking about last week, mortgaging the future? They already mortgaged the future with Jordan Poole. They should have kept them. I know they had to choose between Draymond and Poole, but I'm not sure that you chose the right guy. We'll get into that. If you missed the Saturday show, we did talk about Roky Sasaki signing with the Dodgers, and then they get Tanner Scott as well and more deferred money, and everybody's pissed off, so we'll get that as well. Plus, we have a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. What's on your mind today? Let me know what your thoughts were of the NFL weekend. Give me your thoughts, because we will get going on all sorts of things, from Patrick Mahomes and so forth and so on. So make sure that you check us out for that as well, as I'm checking everybody out. Again, thank you for joining us tonight. If I did not say hello to your good morning, I don't think I said hello to and good morning to Gizmo. Good morning, Gizmo. I will absolutely get to you. So let's get to all of those things, questions, comments, thoughts on the comment line. And after the show, hit me up as well. I try to get back to everything as quickly as possible. At John Lund Radio on Twitter/X is usually where I go. But again, go to the website, and there's a place where you can hit me up there too. lots of stuff. Anything you want to know on the show, JohnLundUnleashed.com. All right, all that stuff is out of the way. Good morning. Jason, I agree with you. Flopping needs to be a penalty. Let's start there because everybody wants to start with Patrick Mahomes. He seems to get the ratings and the talk. And I have not seen the I did not watch ESPN this morning, didn't get up in time. I was a little late, but I did most of the work last night, and I can see a lot of people talking about the Lions as well. Lions going to Lion. But let's do start with Mahomes because I think that's where everybody wants to go. And I'll just play a little montage here. You guys probably saw it, but I'm going to play it for you anyway, and then let's discuss together. Here is Patrick Mahomes getting the calls from the zebras, and then, of course, you see all the memes and all those kind of things of him kissing up to the zebras. Maybe this is something, maybe this isn't. I know that we have a little PTSD as far as 49ers fans are concerned. Nick Bosa was held on the Jet Wasp in Super Bowl 54. Somehow, Juwan Taylor, who rocks back on every play, 74, the right tackle, did not get called for a penalty in the Super Bowl, although he's a penalty machine. So we know all too well about these kind of things. But this is the video from the game, but this is the Houston Texans announcer who are getting all upset about the calls going against the Texans. So take a listen, take a look.
I mean, he's in his face as the ball's coming out, hits him. I don't understand. You're not allowed to touch Mahomes.
Certain guys in the playoffs, you're absolutely right. The Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's, and Mahomes has kind of, you know, earned that right. It's like using a basketball analogy. The stars get the calls where he is definitely one of the stars in this league.
Well, it looked like the helmet, it was high up, and the face masks touched. Let's see. We're getting another look here. Oh, wow. Did you see that one, Dre?
I'm looking right now. He's pulling up.
Yeah, he's pulling
up. That's as weak as water.
You got to get him lower.
And then you get called for that.
Anything near the helmet, it's an automatic, it seems. Mahomes shotgun, one back. Mahomes drops the snap, picks it up. Mahomes pressured out to the right, trying to square up. Mahomes looking around, dancing forward, and Mahomes is going to take a hit at the 40-yard line, and a flag is down. Are you kidding me?
He is already a runner once he's past the line of scrimmage. You can't get protection as a quarterback from sliding hit feet first.
Unnecessary roughness.
He was well past the line.
Well past it.
15-yard penalty.
It's a bad call.
Oh, you cannot throw that flag. He slides last moment right in front of Henry Toa Toa. That is ridiculous. You got to protect the quarterback, but he can't slide down.
And he's a runner once he's broken the line of scrimmage. That's just an ordinary tackle that you wouldn't call that on a running back. It's the same thing when a quarterback takes off.
X is about to explode with posts on that one. First down, Chiefs at the Houston 46. They're just going to have to take it. Here's the snap to Mahomes. Mahomes looking, trying to scramble forward. Mahomes on the run. Angling left, has the 10, and he runs out of bounds across the 12. And took a late push. Are they going to throw another one
now,
here?
No, you know what? There should be a flag on Mahomes for flopping.
He flopped.
There should be a flag. That should become a penalty, and I think something that the rules committee should visit in the offseason. You've got enough to think about as a defender.
And an official.
All right, so there's a couple of things here, and I know that everybody's getting pissed. I'm looking at the chat line, and it's like, that's weak as water. So that's obviously Houston announcers. So there's a couple of things here that we need to go back to. I probably should have froze that at one particular point. The first one, you really got to see the side angle. Will Anderson doesn't hit him. And I think that what needs to happen, even though, you know, again, I'm going to try to get Mike Perrer on the show today, but the thing that's really frustrating about it is, and it's all quarterbacks, but it's just heightened because it's Mahomes. And I know that we are definitely sensitive because of what he's done to us in two Super Bowls here in the Bay Area. But the first one, Will Anderson doesn't hit him. And it's such a big deal. It's 15 yards. It completely changes the drive. So with that big of a penalty, they have got, and this is not a like pass interference. Remember a couple of years ago, and I remember we had Mike Perrer on every week at that point on KNBR. And we went back and forth every single week on pass interference. Is that pass interference? Is that not pass interference? But it's a really difficult thing to call. It's a subjective call. And you could, sometimes it looks like it, sometimes it doesn't. It's not exact. Again, I go back to something like math. 3 + 2 = 5. 2 + 2 = 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As far as pass interference is concerned, it's really difficult to legislate and to go back over. I mean, by letter of the law, all those kind of things. And it was a colossal failure. And Pereira told us when he was coming on with us every week that it wouldn't last past the season. I got it. It was too much. I understand that. But when it comes down to a 15-yard penalty like this, as big as it is, and again, given the technology that we have and we still can't figure it out, don't let me go on a rant about technology. It should happen faster. We don't need to go to New York. I sat on my couch with some of these replays over the weekend. Was like, I just saw the ball drop. You know, when they would look back at a ball that was dropped or something like that, and there's a guy with his face in the Microsoft thing. And it's like, dude, I just saw it. I have 3 cocktails in me. I saw it as clear as day. This doesn't need to take that long. Move it, move it, move it, move it. It's baseball. It's football. It's all this stuff. Like, let's go. Move it. We just saw it. You don't need to go back to New York. You don't need to go back anywhere. But what they need to do, and I know it would slow down the game, but it doesn't have to, because I just went on my technology rant without wanting to go on my technology rant. It should take 5 seconds. They showed the side angle of Will Anderson, the first one that you saw there. He didn't hit him. He hit him in the chest, and that's 15 yards. It's massive. It's absolutely massive, that play. He hits him in the chest, and that is not an objective thing. That is something you can actually see. You can actually see if we went helmet to helmet. And I understand, because I know this, officials are told to err on the side of protecting the quarterback. And we'll go through this again just because it's something. And I'm not defending Patrick Mahomes. I'm not. But what it is they are the actors. They are the lead actors in the movie. And you don't want them knocked out of the game. You don't want them knocked out of the season. That's it means ratings. It means dollars. It means eyeballs. It means all these things. So they don't want... Who's the backup in Kansas City? It was Chad Henne. Oh, it's Carson Wentz. They don't want Carson Wentz in for Patrick Mahomes. I completely understand that. So what they do is they throw the flag. They're told to throw the flag, and it's to protect the quarterback. I understand all those things. You got to err on the side of protecting the quarterback. I understand that. They're the star of the show. But then when you go back and you see from the side that it was he hit him in the chest, and it didn't even look like he really hit him, then you can't do that. And then the second one, the reason why I paused right there is because, you know, a lot of people have texted me and said, hey, man, I can say whatever I want, to concurse however I want, but I try not to, just because, I want to have a respected show. Let's just put it like this. When Mahomes is dancing around like that, you have to be smarter as an official. He's just trying to bait the flag. He's baiting the flag by jumping around. And as the announcers correctly said, once he's past the line of scrimmage, he's a runner. And then not only that, in that case, Mahomes slides under it. The two Texans go helmet to helmet. They didn't even hit Patrick Mahomes. They went helmet to helmet on each other. So again, to me, if you're going to give him 15 yards on something like that and that big of a penalty, it's got to be something where at least the other team can look at it, because they hit each other's helmets. Mahomes is dancing around like this. And then he slides at the last second and they give it to him. And Kyler Murray does that. It's not just a Mahomes thing, but it's constant. So there's no way you can give him that 15 yard. Then you can see on the third one, and this is something they're going to have to look at, and I think the Texans announcers are right on this one too. He slows down at the sideline thinking to himself, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to get 15 yards if I just slow down, and then I'm going to flop out of bounds and try to bait the 15. And I hate that in the NBA. And they've done largely away with it in the NBA. They changed the rules. So they've largely went away from this in the NBA. I'd put 15 on Mahomes on that one. Get out of bounds. And if you don't get out of bounds and you get slaughtered, that's on you. So this is not just a Mahomes thing, even though I know that we're all pissed off about this whole thing. And I do have a sports philosophy, as you could imagine. I don't hate that there's a human element. I know that officials are not going to get every call right. And I'm not saying they should get every call right. But if you're going to give a team 15 yards, if you're going to change the scope of the game, which those two calls on the 15-yarders absolutely did, because after the first 15-yarder, they hit Travis Kelce right down the middle of the field. He runs for a mile. I have no idea how Travis Kelce gets as open as he does. How about just cover him? I don't care if you're in a zone. I don't care if you're in a man. If 87 is around, go to him. He's wide open so much. But right after that first penalty you saw, catches one down the middle, goes all the way down inside the 10-yard line. They score a touchdown. And that, remember, that was a third down in which Will Anderson hits Patrick Mahomes, which wasn't a penalty. So is that not something that's going to change the scope of the game? But back to my philosophy, I don't think you have to replay everything. I don't want to replay everything. It slows the game down. It's not aesthetically pleasing. I don't need to get everything right. Where, if you forgot, the reason why they brought instant replay in the first place was Vinny Testaverde sneaks the ball into the end zone, I think about 98, against Dennis Erickson and the Seahawks. And I know that you're thinking to yourself, who cares about the Seahawks? I get it. But it was an egregious error. Testaverde didn't get into the end zone. They said he did, and it cost the Seahawks a playoff spot. So we're reactionary in sports. We're reactionary in life. And so what happens is they make this rule, and it was supposed to just fix the egregious error. It was not supposed to fix, like, let's slow it down. Oh, it's out of his hands. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to fix the egregious errors, and that was it. And now we're slowing it down to the last possible second, and it's taking too long. And now you got it, you know, you're getting a sandwich and a beer and going to the bathroom, and it's still not working. And it's why a lot of times I go about a half hour late to the game. I stop it, and then I watch it about a half hour into the game. I don't look at social media a whole lot. That way I can zip through halftime. In the second half, I'll probably watch on time, but I don't want to sit through that stuff. I don't like it. But having said all those things, my philosophy is refs don't cost you games. Officials don't cost you games. In that case, could they have cost the Texans the game? Well, if you watch that game at all, the Texans had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And to me, this is as vulnerable as Kansas City has been. Now, we said that last year too, and the 49ers still couldn't beat them. But for a team that's 15-1 in the regular season and just beat the Texans, and maybe the Texans should have won, and a more veteran team maybe does win that game, Kansas City won. But I don't think Kansas City is great, and I do think that Buffalo is going to go in there and win that game. I think either Buffalo or Baltimore would have gone in there and are going to go in there, in Buffalo's case, and win the game. Mahomes makes plays. He made a great play again after a call. He throws the one where he's falling down, kind of like Ken Stabler in the See a Hands game almost against Miami. He's falling down, and he throws that ball to Kelce, and somehow Kelce's just sitting in the middle of the end zone. If I was an owner of a team, I'd go down to the sideline and ask D'Amico Ryan's, like, do you not want to cover 87? You know that's where he's going, right? Like, there are other receivers who are like Xavier Worthy, who's really fast but not really good, and Hopkins, who's about 90. Like, that's who they're throwing the ball to. Put three guys on him. Like, make him throw it anywhere but there. It drives you through a wall watching Kelce every year in the playoffs, doesn't it? Like, he not only is he open, he's wide open. Like, wide, wide, wide open. Like, George Kittle is never that open. Never, 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 never. No 49ers are ever that open. No people, no receivers ever are that open. Anyway, didn't mean to rant on that one. Anyway, give me your thoughts. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch the Bills. I don't know if it's just because we're so focused, hyper-focused, or the Bills, the Chiefs. I don't know if it's just we're so hyper-focused on the Chiefs. But those plays were fairly egregious. And all I'm asking for, and this is just for all of the NFL fandom, I think that should be a play. Those should be plays that are automatically reviewed like scoring. Like, if you're going to say that somebody went helmet to helmet, if you're going to say that somebody hit the quarterback late, even though two Texans collided with each other and they hit helmets and Patrick Mahomes went underneath it after he did a dance move and then dove on the ground past the line of scrimmage, you just can't do that. And I think part of it too is if we replayed that part, the fans get involved. They start booing and yelling and screaming, and then it influences the official and they decide to throw a flag. There wasn't a flag initially. And all of a sudden the fans start getting into it, and then he throws a flag. It's almost like they feel compelled by the officials. It's frustrating, no doubt about it. Now, could the Texans have won? Yeah, if you watch the game, the Texans had so many opportunities to win that game. That was a winnable game by far. But the Texans didn't follow through on the whole thing. So as egregious, I think, as those plays are, and as much as I want a rule change in the league, and we can call it the Mahomes rule because it's ridiculous, and he knows it. That's the other thing. He's going to play it up. On the first one, he played it up. On the second one, he played it up. On the third one, he kind of tiptoed to the sideline. He's like, somebody hit me, and then he dove out of bounds. It's ridiculous, and the officials are falling for it. It's like I said, in the NBA, you're watching LeBron James just fall. He's a 270-pound man, and he's getting touched with like two fingers, and he's falling over, and the officials are going for it. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you didn't see what Mahomes did there? He's dancing, then he slides under two guys, and that's on the Texans? you know, it's the same thing. I mean, we know far too well what exactly that is. So there's rant number one today. Give me your thoughts. That was frustrating, man. Yeah. That's a great call right there. Andy Reid probably calls that a play. He probably does. Pat, just get near the sidelines, and then you kind of just, you know, dive out of bounds, and we'll see what happens. Happens all the time. And he just happens to be the one. And the Houston announcer isn't wrong. I mean, certain guys get that call. Certain guys don't. Does Brock get that call as much? That's where somebody, I think a lot of people get frustrated with Steph Curry. Curry doesn't really get a lot of superstar calls. LeBron flails, yells, screams. He's 280 pounds, gets touched, and he goes flying. It's like, bro, no way. Like, if we were on the street, you're 200, I don't know, what's LeBron, 260? Like, if somebody bumps into LeBron James, no way. That's like running into a cement block wall. Like, you're separating your shoulder, yet he falls down. I mean, that's, you know, that's the way it goes. I just think officials, A, should be smarter. B, don't listen to the crowd. And C, you got to do something about it. You 100% got to do something about it if you're at the NFL. It's 15 yards. That was a third down against Kansas City, that first one. It's a killer. All right, let's move on to some of the other games, and we can keep this conversation going because I know everybody wants to discuss that one as well. The other big news in the AFC, and Mark Andrews fumbles. The Ravens are driving, Mark Andrews fumbles. Then near the goal line, and I always like to localize these stories. So what if this was, I don't know, Kittle or somebody on the 49ers, would you forgive him or would you just be pissed forever? And this would be one of those things that would live in lore, because that's what's going to happen here. This is going to be the drop for the Ravens. They could have tied the game. Who knows if they would have won the game, but it's 27-25, just seconds left in the game. And Mark Andrews, and you can hear Jim Nance on the call here. It looks like he had it. And they had it kind of so far away that I didn't even see him drop it until they replayed this one. But this was the last game of the day. Ravens and Bills should have went to overtime, and somehow Mark Andrews drops his ball.
Oh, Baltimore. The drop by Henry earlier. Andrews had a drop as well earlier. And for the game to go possibly to overtime. And the conditions, the ball's just a little bit short. You got to catch that all day. But your foot's...
Oh, that's just a killer. I don't think I got it from the first time, but you probably saw it yesterday. Just a killer. I just felt bad for the guy. And again, we don't have any. Good morning, Kyle. Good to see you. We don't have a dog in the fight. Maybe you had a bet on some of these games, something like that. And I can't wait to get to the Lions because I don't know. You sit down on the couch and you think you're going to cheer for somebody, or I don't know, cheer is probably the wrong word, but root for somebody or have whatever you want to call it. And then it's like, whoa, what in the what? Yeah, Todd, we will definitely get to the Celtics and Warriors today. 2:30. Yeah, early game for Martin Luther King Day. But I don't know. I have no dog in the fight. I don't really care who wins between the Bills and the Ravens. But I hate to see situations like that. I don't know how you are. Maybe you had money on the game, so you were happy about it. Maybe you were jumping up and down. I have no ill will towards the Ravens. I have no rooting interest to the Bills. Papa grew up in Buffalo, so he is a Bills guy. But I just want to see a good game. And everybody loves overtime. So I'm watching that game, and I feel horrible for Mark Andrews, man. I'm like, dude, I get it. There's snow. There's all this kind of stuff. He slips. And that kind of goes back to my theory of I don't love snow games. Like, I didn't like – maybe you completely disagree. Like, I didn't like in the Philly-LA game that there was snow kind of screwing that whole thing up. I give Saquon Barkley a ton of credit. That long touchdown I thought was going to seal the game but didn't. I mean, it was like he was just tracking everything. He was fine. It's like he's making cuts. They're talking the whole time about how difficult the cuts are and watching the receivers slip and slide and do all these kind of things. And I'm watching Saquon Barkley going, dude – like that guy's having no problem whatsoever. So I don't know what the difference is with him, but he was unbelievable. But Rams had a shot in that game. Again, I don't know how you were thinking. Maybe you're just anything LA sucks. Anything LA? No, 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 no. And we'll get to the Dodgers in a minute if you missed, or at the bottom of the show, if you missed on Saturday. But yeah, I felt bad for Mark Andrews. And then as far as we'll get to Philly and we'll get to Philly in just a second, Philly and the Rams. For some weird reason, I was rooting for the Rams. I don't know, West Coast might have been. I don't like the Eagles. I don't like Eagles fans. I'm with Jared Verse and that whole thing. So I just, like I said, you sit down on the couch sometimes and you don't know who you're going to root for. And I wouldn't say I was rooting. Like, I didn't have pom-poms and have an LA hat. No big deal. I just was like, I don't like Philly. So, and I thought that Stafford and the Rams had opportunities to win that game. They just didn't. Plays that they would normally make, they didn't. And you go into the fourth quarter, what was it, 16-15? They get a safety, do the Rams, make it 16-15. And then Kyron Williams with a massive fumble. They had a couple of turnovers. By the way, I think teams, and I know this is oversimplification, but teams over the weekend that lost were minus 10 total in turnovers. The losing teams were minus 10. Turnovers are everything this weekend. Everything. Rams had some huge turnovers. Ravens had some huge turnovers. It was massive the whole weekend long. Houston, the same thing. Like, you can complain about all these things. Huge, huge, huge. We'll definitely get to some numbers on tonight's game, by the way. So we got to that. We got to Andrews. Oh, let me go to Lamar, because I don't know how you feel about Lamar. I like Lamar, and he's getting a bunch of grief because in the playoffs, the Ravens just don't come through. I mean, that's a good throw to Mark Andrews. So here is here's Lamar postgame.
He's making plays happen. I found that field for us. Came up short. And like I've been saying all season, every time we're in a situation like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnover can't have that shit. You know? And that's why we lost the game. Because as you can see, moving the ball, one of them is hold on to the fucking ball. Sorry for my language. This shit annoying. I'm tired of shit.
He's like, sorry for my language. It does. It's got to be frustrating. He turns it over. Andrews fumbles it. Andrews drops a key ball. It's just, it comes down. It's so crazy. It comes down to like 1, 2, 3 plays. I mean, really, in the NFL, especially in these situations. And, you know, you think back to the Super Bowl, you know, a couple of those third downs for the 49ers, whatever the case may be. So anyway, we'll get to the rest of the things over the weekend, but let me go back to a few of the things. There's a bunch of things flying by that I want to get to. First of all, Daniel donates to the show. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Daniel says, I gave the super Washington plus 10. Let's eat while I ate. Yeah, I give it up. We're going to talk about Washington in just a second. We're going to play some Jared Goff for you. And I want to give you your thoughts. I'll do this now since you brought this up. And thank you, Daniel, for bringing it to my attention. You scored on the Washington game. Well done. And thank you so much. Supers and stickers and all those kind of things. You can contribute to the show if you want your thoughts do absolutely positively 100% be read and acknowledged. Thank you to Daniel for that. I will say this about that game before I get into the Lions side of things is Jane Daniels is amazing. I'm not going to go so far as to say there's national media today. And this is just, again, some of it's for clicks. Some of it is because people can't think past yesterday. Some are calling Jaden Daniels the best rookie quarterback of all time. I'm not going to go that far. There's been a lot of great rookie quarterbacks through the years, so I'm not going to say that Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback of all time. But I will say I think I do have some highlights from that game, and there's one throw in particular. Do I have this? Oh, yeah, I do have it. I'll play it in just a second. His composure to have a rookie quarterback. I said this on Saturday and was completely wrong. I was right on all the games except for the Washington-Detroit game. I thought Detroit would blow the doors off the Commanders. I thought 100%, like, there's no way Washington with the rookie quarterbacks going in Detroit, all those fans going bananas, loud as hell. Like I said, I used to do pre-half and post for the Lions 20 years ago. And those, I know for a fact, those people are starved. I still have a lot of friends back there. They won't return my text messages this morning. They're like, I don't even want to talk to you. And it's not only my thing of, as I told you, Lions going to Lion, but I didn't think it would be that week. I thought maybe next week, Philly could beat him. The Rams could beat him. I didn't think Washington would go in there. And Washington went in there and dominated. I mean, it was close for a little while, but I mean, they put up 31 in the first half. Anytime they needed something, they got it. The throw that Jaden Daniels made down the sideline or down like a deep over to Brown. Let me play this for you. This was unbelievable. And then the Terry McLaurin play. So give it up to Washington. Do I think they're going to go into Philly and win? No. But when you get to the Final Four, who knows? Anybody can beat anybody at this point. I am shocked that Washington got this far. And I'm going to kind of relate that to the 49ers, but you can watch a couple of these throws by Jaden Daniels, but the first one, and the DB put his hand over the receiver's face, but it was such a perfect throw that it's like, he had to catch it. It was unbelievable. Watch this.
Rich running it deep down the field, going for Brown. He's four-man rush this time, zips it in. Caught by your guy. Daniels quick throw from the side. Pitch through. Terry McLaurin. Foot race. McLaurin.
I mean, my God, that first throw was like, honestly, you saw it. The DB put his hand right in front of the guy's face, and he's like, he threw it. Jaden Daniels threw it so perfectly. It was like, oh my God, unbelievable. So look, I didn't think they could go in there and do it. I told you, if you bet against me, you win a lot of money. He was absolutely great. So I give it up to Washington, and it's cool because, you know, you saw Zach Ertz in there. Danville kid. He gets that. Adam Peters, you have that tie in there. So I don't know what your feelings are on Washington. People like underdogs. Now let me play some Jared Goff for you, and then I want to talk about the Lions a little bit in this whole thing. And it's just so weird because you would think a team like, you know, the Bills and the AFC haven't won it, and they've been there so many times. So you kind of feel like, okay, let me root for the Bills. And you would think you'd have the same about the Lions. But after we hear from Jared Goff, Bay Area guy, let me give you my thoughts on this, and I want to know yours as well. Here you go.
Disappointed and sorry to our fans, and sucks. Yeah, I wish I could have played a little bit better. Wish I could have taken care of the ball a little bit better. Obviously the pick six is really the one I'd really like back. That was just a poor decision by me. The other ones are just, you know, sometimes part of the game. And but yeah, it's on me. I got to take care of it better, and certainly would have given ourselves a better chance to win had I done that.
Jared Goff sucked. I mean, there's just no way to put it. And I told you on both, I think, Friday and Saturday, we looked at the quarterbacks and we said, there's not a bad quarterback in the bunch, but Jared Goff to me is a little bit like Brock Purdy in that when you have really great conditions, he can be fine. He can be really, really good. And he can be one of the top quarterbacks in the game. And if we want to go back to money, I think Jared Goff's making about $52 million. And so I was on with Krug on Saturday morning, and a lot of people were saying, well, Brock Purdy's not going to be worth $50+ million. Well, there's Jared Goff making 52. And it goes back to turnovers. As simplistic as this is, the teams that turned the ball over this weekend, they lost. And Jared Goff, what did he throw? 3 interceptions. They fumbled once. So that's that side of the thing. And the Lions have kind of gone from they beat the Packers to knock the Packers out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. They get to the NFC Championship game last year against the 49ers. They go 15-2 this year, and everybody's kind of penciling them in, and then they lose. And I don't know. I should look at them like I do the Bills, but I don't. I don't like the Lions. And it's not because they're in the NFC, and it's not because they're all of a sudden now relevant and a rival of the 49ers. It's not that. Maybe you're with me, maybe you're not. Knock on wood if you're with me, Gruden. They act like they've won something without having won something. Does that make sense? So to me, like Dan Campbell and that whole bit, and I don't know, it just rubs me the wrong way, the whole thing. Like they're tougher, better. You haven't won anything yet. Like when you win things, you can be as cocky as you want because you won. You went 15-2. Nobody's taking that away from you. Best season in your team's history, all those kind of things. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I like that he's cocky. A lot of receivers are cocky. I don't know. They went to the locker rooms last night, and that was just part of it with Jared Goff, and I like Jared Goff. Got nothing against Jared Goff. It's just, I don't know why. They just rub me the wrong way. Dan Campbell does, Amon-Ra St. Brown does, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why. You know, I should want them to win because they've never done anything. They won a championship in 1957, and then they have essentially been whatever the worst friend, you know, Clippers, Warriors before they got things going, like whatever the worst franchises are in sports, they're right there. They haven't won. Their fans are starved. So it should be one of those situations where, okay, if not my team, then the Lions. But I don't know what it is. Am I wrong in that? There's something about them that it's like, you haven't won anything yet. Like, stay humble. And then all season long, it's like they had already won this thing. I don't know. It's just weird. They all season long was like, we're going to kick your ass. We're going to bite you. That whole Dan Campbell bit. And I thought, and this is not what happened, I thought the Lions were going to lose. I thought the Lions were going to lie, as a lot of people hit me up yesterday on social media after the left, and they said, yep, you said it. Lions going to lie. And my friends aren't returning my calls. And so this morning, I kind of feel bad, but it was this cockiness that they had. And I don't mind confidence. And if you win championships, you can be cocky. That's just, Kansas City is cocky. There's no doubt. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, their fans, they've won it. And there's really nothing you can do. You kind of just have to bite it. Like, they are what they are. They've won championships. They've won 2 in a row. They're going for a three-peat. I don't think the Chiefs are, like I said, that great this year. I think they're going to get knocked off by Buffalo. But I looked at the Lions and I was like, I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad. I almost got kind of a little bit of joy of the locker room when Amon-Ra St. Brown with his blue hair was like, yeah, this hurts. This sucks. Dan Campbell, oh man, this hurts. And I'm like, ha 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 ha. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't feel that way, but I just kind of do. I don't know. Anyway, give me your thoughts on that whole thing. Yeah, Dyami Brown, absolutely. Yeah, that kid, the last 2 weeks for Washington, he's been amazing, that kid. I never even heard of that kid. I'm like, wow. That kid's playing well. Absolutely. What do you think of that? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is with Hi Pine Needle. Yeah, there you go. I'm 100% with you. The cockiness and the drama, all the tears BS. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just Dan Campbell, period. Maybe it's just Dan Campbell. I don't like Dan Campbell. I think it's a show. I think it's a fake. I give Brad Holmes, their general manager, a ton of credit. They have a boatload of talent, a boatload of talent. And as weird as this sounds, because Raiders fans will know it, Amik Robertson getting hurt early in that game really hurt them. But it almost felt like the whole game, they're like, we'll pull this out. We'll pull this out. We'll pull this out. And Washington just, I give Washington a ton of credit. I didn't give them any chance going in there. I just was like, no way. They're just not doing it. And it was amazing. It was just Jaden Daniels. And I'll just say this too about Jaden Daniels. And I like Jaden Daniels. But everybody who is saying that he's the greatest rookie quarterback of all time and anointing him already and all these kind of things, just remember what I always say. They are going to adjust. I like him. I like him a lot. But one thing I told you either Friday or Saturday was that they're going to hit him. And 93, I can't remember his name, and he got a personal foul on it, and he hit him high. And sometimes a 15-yard penalty isn't the worst thing in the world. He is thin. He's going to get hit. They're going to see what he's got. And I'm not saying Washington's not going to be good for a while, and that's something, again, in the NFC that's like, damn, Washington's good now. The Niners are looking up going, damn, that kid's good now. Now I see why Brandon Ayuk wanted to play for Washington. Now, maybe this is just their year and everything went right, because it is pretty amazing that they would, you know, they would trade Sweat, they would trade Young, they would do all these different things, and then Jaden Daniels would turn things around. But you know what? A quarterback, and I know this is kind of obvious, but when I say this, you're going to go, no kidding. But a quarterback makes so much difference, but it's not just on the field. Like, I remember the Raiders hadn't had a quarterback forever, and I was doing pre-half and post for the Raiders for a number of years. And I know Derek Carr isn't great now, and Derek Carr is not going to the Hall of Fame or anything like that. And I think he just declined an option or whatever it is, so he's not going to be with the Saints anymore. But the Raiders had been so bad at the position for so long with Jamarcus and Andrew Walter and all these different guys that they were trying to plug in, that even having a competent quarterback when they drafted him in 2014, they drafted Mac in the first round and Derek Carr in the second round. And we would go down there every Thursday, Papa and I, when he was still working for the Raiders, and we would do a show down there each Thursday when we were on the game. And Derek Carr one time came in. They'd give us a guest every single Thursday, and one time it was Derek Carr when he was a rookie. And it just made the whole building feel different. Everybody gained confidence. Everybody that came in was like, Derek is making this thing. And I know Derek was a little different. He was a Bible banger, and he was a lot different than your normal quarterback, but he gave them confidence at the position. He gave him confidence at the position. And remember, that last preseason game against Seattle, and that was the Legion of Boom, and that's when you had four preseason games. And Derek played that whole game, and he played well against Seattle, and it gave everybody confidence. It changed the demeanor in the building. And that's what Washington is getting. I mean, Bobby Wagner's a veteran. Their receivers are good. You get a veteran like Zach Ertz in the building. They did smart things like that. But Jaden Daniels is giving this whole team a confidence. That's what a quarterback does. So not only is he making plays, but they get in that huddle and they believe that they're going to make plays. I mean, that offense I didn't realize how good that offense was. Second best offense in the league. Cliff Kingsbury is probably going to get a job somewhere based on that. All I can remember him is, remember when he was in Arizona and they had that draft and he's in this big house, he's got his feet up. So I don't know. The other thing about the Lions is, and we know this from 49ers perspective, nothing's guaranteed. Like that's another thing why I was bothered by the Lions all year. Like they thought, oh, we're just going to pick up where we left off in the NFC Championship game, rolling the 49ers. We're going to get this. That's how they acted all season long. Like we owed them something. You know, you owe us. We're just going to be back in the NFC Championship game, and this time we're going to finish it. Okay. But what the 49ers have learned as well that's difficult is when you're really good like that, your coordinators are going to be stolen. So how good is Dan Campbell going to be without Ben Johnson, who's definitely taking a job between the Jags, the Bears, or the Raiders? How good are the Lions going to be when Aaron Glenn takes a job somewhere else and they bring in a new defensive coordinator? Now, the one thing I'll give the Lions credit for is they were in this game in the divisional round, and they had a ton of guys missing defensively, especially Aiden Hutchinson. So if you have Aiden Hutchinson in this game, is it different? Probably. I mean, he's their Nick Bosa. So yeah, probably this game is a bit different. So they had a ton of injuries. I'm not saying they won't be back. But what I am saying is that when you lose both your coordinators, as the 49ers know, it's not easy. And Dan Campbell is a motivator of men. Meanwhile, his offensive and defensive coordinators actually do the things. You know, he's kind of what Campbell is to a certain extent, and I'm not putting him on this same level, is Harbaugh. A lot of people ask, what does Jim Harbaugh even do? What does Harbaugh do? He's a motivator of men, and he allows his offensive and defensive coordinators. He hires very good coaches around himself, and he allows them to do their job, and he is a motivator of men. And that's what Dan Campbell is. I don't know. I just thought Dan Campbell was full of it. So I'm not, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not angry they're gone. They're missing. Maybe other people are. I should feel better, right? I should be like, hey, man, you know, those guys, I shouldn't feel so bad. So anyway, let's take a gander at what we've got going. Episode 36, NFL weekend. We are lapdogging Jaden Daniels. We are saying we don't care that the Lions got knocked out. Mahomes and the refs, I guess I should have put that first because that's what we played. I just really believe that if you're going to give Mahomes and star quarterbacks this treatment, and if you're going to have a rule, which they do, I know for a fact, that you're going to err on the side of protecting the star of the show, which is the quarterback, and I completely understand why, because I don't want Carson Wentz quarterbacking the Chiefs in the playoffs. Sorry, I just don't. I don't know who's the backup. I don't want the old quarterback for the Steelers doing the having the thing for the Eagles, although we got to get into Jalen Hurts in a minute. I don't want the backup quarterback of the Bills. I don't even know who that is because Josh Allen is never out, et cetera, et cetera. You want the stars of the show in the game, and I understand that. But if you're going to call a penalty on Will Anderson who doesn't hit Patrick Mahomes, then you got to take a look at it. When Patrick Mahomes scrambles around past the line of scrimmage, dives or slides under two Texans who then hit helmets, and it's a 15-yard penalty that leads to a touchdown, you've got to go back and look at that. The first one was on a third down. I'm not saying it cost the Texans the game because I have a hard, fast rule that officials don't cost you games. There was many opportunities for the Texans to win that game, a ton. They outgained them. They did all these, but they did out-turnover them too, just like everybody over the weekend. They should have won the game, and those penalties absolutely hurt. Did it cost them the game? I would probably stop short of saying that, but I guess the main thing today is we're pissed. We don't like Mahomes, and we don't like those penalties that get called at him, and then all the memes come out of Mahomes kissing the officials, and there you go. All right, let's go over all that. So we went over the weekend, and we're going to go over pool and the national championship and other things. Is it Trubisky still skills report? I was thinking it might be. I should probably look at that. I should probably know that. There's Jacob. You said that of the teams worth hating, the Lions are low on the totem pole. I understand that. I don't know why. It's just me. Because like I said, logic should tell me that I shouldn't be... that I should be upset, like, oh man, Lions Bills would have been really cool, and two teams who haven't won it and suffering fan bases. I should totally be behind that. But I almost was like, joyous is too strong of a word. But when I saw Amon-Ra St. Brown with his blue hair, kind of really down in the locker room, it didn't bother me. When I heard Dan Campbell say, "Oh, this one really hurts," you know, it didn't really bother me. Now Jared Goff, I felt bad for, because he turned the ball over. But I shouldn't have done that, man. I shouldn't be so angry. I don't know what it is about that team. I just don't like them. And it doesn't have anything to do with them being a rival with the 49ers. It has nothing to do with it. I don't know what it is. It's something they're just rubbing me the wrong way, man. Let's see, a lot of people hitting up the Bible banger. Yeah, that's just Derek Carr. He would be so positive. It was unbelievable. Like, you do an interview with Derek Carr, and he was so positive. I got a great story. So we're in London. I'll get back to this in just a second. Great stuff on the chat line. I'll get to in just a second. So we're in London, and these people don't know anything about football, and they're having fun with Derek Carr. It was the year they took on Miami at Wembley Stadium, so it's like 2014. And Charles Woodson's there, and he's talking for a little while, and he's entertaining them, and they're doing all sorts of bits with them, and the guys are having fun with it. But after a while, it's like Woodson's leaving. Some of the vets, Derek Fadden was on that team. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, ha, ha. And we're waiting as a media because I've got to do certain interviews before the game. And, of course, you got to get the quarterback. So it's maybe, it's late in the week. It's like Thursday. So I got to wait for Derek Carr. And so I'm standing over there, and they're doing bits with him, and they're trying on his helmet. They're doing all this London things and everything like that. And I'm not kidding you. They're going to – this is just the way the media works. We'll suck it out of you for an hour if you'll just stay there. And remember, he's a rookie, so he's just hanging out, and it had to be an hour. So I'm standing there. It's getting dark. I'm like, come on, bro. Let's get done with it. So he finally gets done, and I walk over to him, and I go, Derek, you don't have to do that, man. Like, you know, we're just the media. Like, we'll talk as long as that you'll give it to us, man. And he's like, yeah, I know, but, you know, trying to be a nice guy this and that. He was just the nicest guy ever. I think he hurt his ankle in that game anyway. So anyway, I waited for him, and that's how he is. He's a super nice guy. He was literally the last guy left. Everybody else had gone back to the locker room. Derek stands. I mean, maybe it was 45 minutes. It felt like 3 hours of me, But that's just how he was. So anyway, I don't know why I got onto a Derek Carr tangent, but he was a super nice guy. Super nice guy. All right. No thanks on the Eagles. Yep, I agree with you there. No thanks on the Eagles. Can't stand the fan base. No thanks on everyone. Slurp up on Jaden Daniels. Obviously, screw Kansas City. Let's go Buffalo. Yeah, I would think. Hey, thanks, sports fan. I would think that most people would say that Buffalo is the team that they would like at this point to move forward with. I would. I mean, that's who I'm rooting for. I'd like to see Buffalo do that. I don't know. You know, Philly is definitely not my team. Washington is interesting, I guess, with Adam Peters there. But again, just because you were in San Francisco, that doesn't mean that I'm going to root for your team. So would I like Washington to upset Philadelphia? Yeah. I think Buffalo is going to upset Kansas City, which means Kansas City is going to go for the three-peat in the Big Easy. But I do think just Buffalo seems to be their year. Baltimore had some opportunities. Baltimore could have easily won that game. It would have been 27-27. We already played the Mark Andrews dropping the ball. So, yeah, I thought there was an opportunity there to do that, but they didn't. So there's what's going on as far as the NFL is concerned. Anything – there you go. Let me pop this up there too. Sports Score for Life. I'm just worried no NFC team can beat the AFC team, which is fine if Buffalo wins, but it's Mahomes again. I'm going to puke. Yeah, I just – again, maybe I'm wrong in this thought. And, Tony, I'm going to answer your question on Ohio State Notre Dame in just a second. Kansas City's just not as good. Now, does that mean they're not going to win? No, that doesn't mean that. But this is as vulnerable as they've been, and it's strange to say about a team that's 15-1, but they're not normally as good as Kansas City is. Their defense is good, not great. Their defense has been great. Like last year, their defense was great. This year, their defense is good. Offensively, this is nowhere near what their offenses have been in the past. Travis Kelce somehow drinks from the fountain of youth come playoff time, and then teams just decide not to cover him. I just don't get that. You know, whether it's zone, whether it's man, whether it's a guy over. Like if I was Houston, for example, on Saturday, Derek Stingley, my best guy, is going to cover him. I don't care about DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care what he's going to do. Xavier Worthy's really, really fast, but they really don't go to him deep. They throw him a bunch of smoke screens and short stuff and hope that he can break it, or they run reverses or whatever. Kelce's their best receiver. Derek Stingley's a first-team all-pro corner. That's it. That's your best receiver. This is my best cover guy. Derek Stingley is covering and not leaving Travis Kelce. I don't care. Like he does those block and release kind of things, and he can't block worth hell. He's a terrible blocker. So he got run over a number of occasions. So I don't care. I don't care if he blocks and releases. Derek Stingley's covering him. Who scares me among their wide receiver group? They don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. Like that's not what they have. It blows my friggin' mind that every time I look up, it's like not only is he open, he's like high school open. Like nobody's covering him. He's college open. Like a college open is 10 yards open. Like, that's why it's so, once they get to the pros, they're like, the coordinators and the coaches are like, that's NFL open. Like, this far, that's NFL open. You have to throw the ball. It's not easy. You're not going to see high school and college open at this level. You've got to throw the ball in tight windows. Mahomes doesn't throw to tight windows at Travis Kelce. Like, go back and look at the one after the Will Anderson phantom penalty where 87 is standing, and it's like he has some infectious disease. Like, can't get near Kelce. Don't get near him. You'll catch it. Like, what? He's 10 yards open. Who are you covering? DeAndre Hopkins? DeAndre Hopkins at this point is running like a 5-second 40. Worthy's a good player. I mean, okay, he runs a 4-2-1. They never throw it to him unless it's a smoke screen or a reverse or something. Like, who else are you going to cover? And it's every single game. Every game. My God. By the way, did I mention Oren Burks for the Eagles? How come Oren Burks never played like that with the 49ers? Oren Burks was like everywhere yesterday. He wore 42 for the Eagles, like Oren Burks, Oren Burks, Oren Burks. I'm like, Oren Burks never played like that with the 49ers, ever. Sorry, just went on a weird tangent there. Let's see, somebody disagrees with me about something. Let's see. I disagree with you. Referees don't win or lose games. The referees called that tacky-tack interference call at the end of the Super Bowl, allowing Kansas City to beat the Eagles on a last-second field goal. I agree. Those things are absolutely in the most obvious things. And when they don't or do, and I'd go back to even like New Orleans and the Rams. Remember, what was it? Coleman, the corner, the slot nickel or whatever he was. I think his last name was Coleman. Had that PI, and it should have been a PI. But again, there's 60 minutes of football. There's 48 minutes in a basketball game, and I feel like if you look at certain plays that should have been made, for example, Mark Andrews is going to be the scapegoat for the Ravens and the Bills, 27-25, that ball's in your hands. You got to make that catch. All right, well, there's a bunch of other plays during that game. I haven't looked at the box score, but let's just say for the sake of conversation, on average, there are, I don't know, 65 offensive plays in a game that a team has, 65, 70 offensive plays in a game. Any of those could have been different. Somebody missed a block that you didn't see because we're all focused on, and I'm not saying that certain calls can't be made. You're right. It was a ticky-tack pass interference call. It was on James Bradbury. I know the player you're talking about, but he did hold. Should you have called it in that point? Yeah, that's kind of debatable. I understand that. But my point is always on those is, yep, those things are absolutely magnified and should be. A guy drops a ball, an official makes a call, whatever the case may be, but there are tons of opportunities throughout a game to win a game. That's how I look at it. And here's the other way that I look at it. And I'm not saying you're wrong and I'm right. I'm just giving you my rationale behind it. I could be 100% wrong on it. But I like the human element. I don't want everything replayed. It's part of the deal. An umpire misses a call. It happens. During a baseball game, it drives me absolutely bananas that I go look on social media and they've got the ball on the outside and then it was supposed to be a strike or was supposed to be a ball, whatever it was supposed to be. And they're like, look at this call. And it's like, it's human error. It's part of the game. It's baked into the casserole. That's just what it is. And I don't want it completely out. I don't want a robot back. I don't want a robot umpire. I don't want robot officials. They're doing the best they can. What we do for a living, whatever it is, we're not 100%. We're just not. And it's baked into it. I get it. But your team could have overcome it. Most of the time, probably 99% of the time, your team could have overcome it. They could have made a play. But it's not as blatantly obvious as blaming the official. And it's really easy to blame the official because you don't want to be mad. This is part of my philosophy. And again, could be wrong. But you don't want to be mad at your player. Like I have a jersey of said player, and it could be his fault. But you know what? It had to be the official. If that official had called this or called that or called this or called that, and I get it. We can go back and play if you missed the beginning of the show when we played all the questionable Mahomes calls. There's no doubt that after, especially after the first Will Anderson hit non-hit, they got 15 yards, and then the next play, Kelsey's wide open over the middle because, I don't know, he's got an infectious disease that nobody wants to cover him and get sick. I don't know how that happens, but then they score a touchdown and et cetera, and that was a third down. So if they don't call that on Will Anderson, therefore, the Texans win the game. That's a stretch to me. I don't know. I look at it and I say to myself, there are a lot of plays in a game, and I just don't think that officials cost you the game a large majority of the time. Yeah, occasionally there will be. By letter of the law, the play that you're talking about, Nate, was probably a good call, but I get it. I totally get it. I'm not saying that you're not right or wrong, and that's why I love debating on the show, is that's just how I kind of look at it. But I'm not saying that you're wrong. I can totally see why you say that. Let's go out to Ben Affleck's double chin. That's amazing. That's a it's a good looking pumpkin you got there. Man. Mosley. You're talking about Mosley. He can't stay healthy, dude. He didn't even play yesterday for the Lions, did he? Not that, or yesterday. Yeah, I guess it was. Yes, was it yesterday? I can't even keep these games straight. Yeah, I do. I like Mosley. Thanks for the. Let me hit you up there. You put $2 into the kitty, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, Ben Affleck's double chin, and thank you for showing us that lovely pumpkin. I like Mosley. He's one of those guys that can't stay healthy, and I doubt the 49ers would bring him back. And I think next year the corners for the 49ers are pretty well set. It's going to be the second year corner out of Florida State. It's going to be Green, and it's going to be D'Amador Lenore, who's going to be in the slot or who's going to go outside. You know, they probably need one more because they are going to lose Ward, but that comes down to what we always talk about, which is Brock. And if you want to go down that road, we can, but it's like, oh my God. Oh, see, you offended double chin. You offended Joy. And I don't know about that. I don't know if I can pop you up again. Cause now you see, now that's all it took for everybody to go off on a tangent. Now everybody's going to go off on a tangent. It's going to be my fault. Hey man, if you contribute to the show, there's nothing I can do. And I apologize for those who are offended. Actually, I do not, you know what the show's going to do. You never know what's going to happen. And Ben Affleck double chin. And that's his thing. I don't know what else to tell you, man. I can't get upset. yeah, like you said, let me go back to this just a second. Daniel Burke's ball was like, how did he never play like that with the 49ers? My God, man, he never played like that. It's like he's knocking down the ball. He's doing all this kind of stuff. Every time he turn around, 42's making a play. I remember Oren Burks in the Super Bowl last year, speaking of Kelce, between him and Flanagan fouls, in the first half or before Dre got hurt, Kelce did nothing. I mean, nothing. And then Burks and Flanagan fouls in the game, and it just got crazy. What do you have, like 9 catches after that? Absolutely, positively crazy that game. All right, did we hit everything? Did we hit everything? See, everybody's talking about the pumpkin now. I knew that was going to happen. Let's see here. That's a good name, Harley Bird. That's a really good name, DJ Reed. Don't think the Niners bring back DJ Reed. Bad blood after he got cut. Yeah, he was not happy. He went to Seattle. But you know what? Hey, money is everything. I don't know if they can afford him. He's with the Jets now, but he's a nice corner. And I told you the story about me and Krug doing that draft show on a Saturday, and DJ Reed came on after he was drafted, I think in like the 4th or 5th round by the Niners. You'd have thought he was Deion Sanders. I mean, he was the cockiest guy I ever saw in my life. Unbelievable. All right, we'll go back to football in just a second, but I wanted to make sure. First of all, let me do this because I can't find it anymore because all of the y'all nasty. I know, man. I'm sorry you contributed to the show. There's nothing I can do about it. Let me talk about that. Let me talk about tonight. There's a couple of things, and then I want to get to Jordan Poole in just a second. So tonight, Notre Dame and Ohio State, and I shouldn't be this petty. I've told you this. We've discussed this. A friend of mine, son, Rocco Spindler, is number 50. He's the right guard for Notre Dame. I think he's playing tonight. He's kind of banged up. So I should be rooting for Notre Dame. But Notre Dame is one of those teams. It's like Duke. It's like the Yankees. It's like the Dodgers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I know. It doesn't matter. Because everybody, we all kind of have a thought process. So our team is out of it. And you might be rooting for the Bills because they've never won it. You'd like to see that. You might be rooting for the Commandos because, you know, their general manager used to be with the 49ers and Adam Peters. I don't know. There might be a coach. There might be. So whatever the case may be, there might be something. Maybe you liked Oren Burks. I don't know. So, you know, we all have our weird things of, well, that's why I'm going to root for this team or that team or whatever. But it really wouldn't matter if I knew people on Notre Dame staff. And I do know one of my friend's kids is on it. I just can't do it. And I'm not a huge Ohio State fan, so you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. I do think Ohio State's going to win this thing. Now, Will Howard is okay. Those two running backs are great. They've got a couple of really good defensive linemen that wouldn't look bad in 49ers colors. They always have decent defensive backs. They got a nice safety. They got a nice corner. I think Ohio State's playing just great ball. Just great ball. And so I think Ohio State's going to win, although I can't believe Notre Dame has made it this far. Remember, they lost to Northern Illinois, what, like second game of the season? And I thought to myself, they're not going anywhere. And then Marcus Freeman has become this super hot candidate. And I don't know if he has signed the extension, but the Bears wanted to talk to him. And he seems like, you know, again, leader of men type of guy. But it just goes down to, for me, a very simplistic thing. I just don't like Notre Dame. Never have, never will, can't. And so I can't root for Notre Dame. And I'm just... To be honest, I know this is just such a cop-out. It's just such a stupid thing to say, but I kind of am just rooting for a great game because a lot of the college football playoff, it's just stunk. Arizona State and Texas was really good. Penn State, Notre Dame was really good. I'm trying to think what else you had. You had that interception at the end. It's like, Durillard, like, what are you doing? But I mean, maybe what, 3 games have been good? I thought Ohio State, Oregon was going to be a great game. Total blowout. What was it, 31-0, 31-6, 31-3, whatever the hell it was at halftime. It was ridiculous. So yeah, it hasn't been good. And I don't know if they're going to make any changes. There's probably so much gold in everybody's pocket that they're not going to make any changes. But so if I took off my Notre Dame hatred hat, I would still think Ohio State's going to win the game. I think they have a ton of talent, but Riley Leonard has been really good. Notre Dame's got a really good running game. The other thing, and you probably could tell me better than what I would know, Notre Dame's defensive line is really banged up. And I don't know how many of those guys are playing. If they are playing, then I think that gives them a better chance. But if Notre Dame was fully healthy, might be a little bit better of a game, but I think Ohio State's going to win. I just think it's one of those things where, you know, when a team is really rocking and rolling, I think that's what Ohio State's doing. So there's my 2 cents. Thank you, Tacky. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do have it's only $5 a month to become a Lund loyalist. And what you'll get is early videos, chats. We're going to do exclusive chats, meetups, things like that. So if you want to do that, that would be That would be amazing. I would really, really love it. Thank you so much. And thank you to Tacky for becoming a Lund loyalist. I appreciate that very, very, very much. So there's my two cents as far as the national championship is concerned. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm crazy. I like both quarterbacks. Both quarterbacks, by the way, are going to be part of that kind of mid-range in the NFL draft. And by the way, tons of people have come back. Tons of people have come back and said, hey, they want to do draft stuff. So if you missed our show Saturday between Krug and I, we discussed it. We will be doing lots of not only draft shows and up, you know, when the draft happens, but we'll do a bunch of draft stuff leading up to it. So of course you have, you know, Ward of Miami and you have Shedeur Sanders and everything. But after those guys, then Beauty's going to be the eye of the beholder and Will Howard, who came from Kansas State, and Riley Leonard, who came from Duke. In today's way that college football works, those guys will be like mid-round picks, and who knows what they're going to do. I'd probably take Leonard over Howard, but he's had pretty good playoff. So there's my two cents on college football. As far as the Warriors go, let me go to – I'm going to play a little bit of Jordan Poole before I get into tonight's game against Boston. But I don't know if you watched the game over the weekend with Jordan Poole, scored, what, 38? He was absolutely nuts. At one point, I think he ended up 8 for 15 from three. And he's not going to do this every single night, but he is certainly a lot better than he was a year ago. And this goes back to a conversation that you and I had last week, which is they already mortgaged their future. They traded Jordan Poole. Ryan Rollins isn't worth anything like that, but they traded a 2030 first-round pick as well just to get rid of Jordan Poole because he and Draymond Green could not coexist on the same team. So Jordan Poole scores 38. Washington doesn't pull off the upset. The Warriors hang on late in this game, but this is the kind of stuff that Jordan Poole was doing to the Warriors over the weekend.
Ollie, guard-to-guard screen, and then Poole rocks into a three, and he's fouled, and an opportunity for a four-point play. This is how upsets happen. A team comes in and just starts launching threes and hitting from everywhere. And Poole now is 5 of 6.
All right, so you get the idea. He scores 38 points. There you go. Jordan Poole was absolutely great. And I don't know if you were thinking what I was thinking, but I'm watching the game going, God, that's exactly what they need. They need another guy. They need, because Steve Kerr is not going to play Steph Curry more than 31 minutes. It's just not happening. Now, maybe down the stretch it will, but generally speaking, it's not going to happen. So who could they possibly use? Well, they tried to get Dennis Schroeder to do it, and Schroeder didn't play poorly against Washington, but I told you when they got him, he was playing 34 minutes. He was averaging 18 points, 6 assists, 4 boards, and he just wasn't going to be that guy. We know Dennis Schroeder. He's a nice player. There's nothing wrong with Dennis Schroeder, but he wasn't going to give you what a guy like Jordan Poole could. Now, you're right, EB. EB is calling me out. I totally get it. He scored 11 last night as they lose again in Sacramento. Look, their team sucks. I'm not saying that. And clearly, he was very motivated to show the Warriors what they're missing out on. I went to the game last year. He tried too hard. He's absolutely a hit-and-miss kind of a guy. But what I'm saying is that if you still like the trade, and if I'm the Warriors, you can blame them for this. They're going, well, we just can't have both these guys on the same team. I'm sorry that Jordan Poole and Draymond Green can't get along, and I'll play a cut for you after the game. Obviously, Jordan Poole and Draymond Green still don't like each other, but they could use Jordan Poole. Chris Paul, long gone, got nothing for Chris Paul, and I don't care what anybody tells me, and this is, again, back to our philosophy of the lying game and everybody's lying. I don't care what the Warriors say. This was not 99% the reason. It was 100% the reason because they could not coexist. I don't care. And I do realize that chemistry is a major part of winning in any sport. I'm not oblivious to that. It's not fantasy. It's not fantasy baseball, basketball, football. You can't just throw guys on a team. I completely understand that. But I would have sat down with Jordan Poole and sat down with Draymond Green and said, I don't care, man. You guys could knock down, drag out, punch in the face. We're not in the business, as John Lynch said about Deebo Samuel a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not sure that this will be the case. I think Debo's going to be gone, but I digress. That you guys got to get along. I don't care. We're not in the business of giving what my quote was going to be is we're not in the business of giving good players away. And bringing Chris Paul on and giving a first-round pick as well to Washington when they said, we don't want to mortgage our future. You gave a 2030 first-round pick and Jordan Poole to Washington for Chris Paul, and then you got nothing for Chris Paul in the offseason. And Chris Paul even gave you extra time. Chris Paul said, okay, I won't opt out. I'll give you a couple extra weeks. They still couldn't get anything done. So you got nothing for Jordan Poole and gave up a first-round pick. And now you're trying to say, we're not going to mortgage the future. You already did. It's too late. And the guy was awesome. Now, you're right. He wasn't good against Sacramento. Jordan Poole can be maddeningly inconsistent. I give you that. But if you think that it's a good trade, then I think you're crazy. You can disagree, but I would have, if I was management of the Warriors, I would have sat down and said, I'm sorry, man. We just signed this guy to a long-term contract. We think he's good. He was a 28th pick in the first round. You often don't get that. And Draymond, you guys are going to have to coexist. So sit down and deal with it. You're a leader of this team, right? So anyway, you can tell that Jordan still does not like Draymond Green. Take a listen to this. He catches himself here. I don't know if you saw this in the post game, but he's talking about Jordan Poole after the game, is talking about all the guys he likes in the Warriors locker room, and then he catches himself. Take a listen to this.
From the fans and then after the game from your former teammates and coaches.
Yeah, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. And really good group, really good staff. Shout out to the fans. Saw a lot of three jerseys out there, a lot of JP3 jerseys, which is always really cool. And always get a lot of love. Spent some good quality time here, and it's dope to see it.
Let me play that one more time. It's too good.
During the game, from the fans, and then after the game from your former teammates and coaches.
Yeah, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys.
I love most of those guys over there. And then Draymond Green later, you probably saw this on social media, tweeted out, I'm sorry. And I just, it drives me crazy to this day. And I know it's gone and maybe we don't need to talk about it anymore. But as we're seeing the back end of the Warriors and them needing to make a trade for a dynamic young player. Now, let me stop myself for a second. Do I think that Jordan Poole would be the answer that ails everything on the Warriors? No, he's not a great defender. He can be wild. Those shots that he took against the Warriors a lot of times don't go in. I understand all those things. But to say that, let me ask you this very, very simply. Would you do the trade again? Would you trade Jordan Poole, even knowing the chemistry and the issues and the problems? Would you do it again? I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade Jordan Poole again. And if you asked Joe Lacob if he would, hey, Joe, you're the one who rubber stamps these deals. You know better than I do what was going on between those walls and if they could coexist, and they couldn't, and certainly didn't seem like it. And you could hear right there that Jordan Poole, I like those guys. I like most of those guys. He doesn't like Draymond Green. Draymond Green doesn't like him, but there's a lot of that happens. You think that everybody thinks it's kumbaya, everybody gets along on every team? If I was the Warriors, I'd be like, look, man, our team is getting older. A diamond is probably too strong of a word. In Jordan Poole, but he was the 28th overall pick, and we scored a guy that can be a 20-point scorer that certainly helped you win the title in 2022. I'm not saying the guy's perfect. He's not. But you're not in the business, especially as you get older, in giving away good young talent. And we know why they did it. And I don't care what they've ever said about it. It's 100% because he and Draymond couldn't get along. That's just what it is. So if you wouldn't do the trade again. I know that. Is that true? I wouldn't. And so you look back at it, and you know, I know we're going through things that we, you know, that are already done and it can't be undone, but still you look back at that, and I knew we'd regret it. I knew they would regret it when it happened. But yeah, Skills, you're 100% right. It says the thing about the punch is not that just Green punched Poole. It said he was ready to pound him some more had the other Warriors not intervened. I would love to talk to I'm blanking on the name of the coach there that was standing right there, but just kind of what went down and everything. And there's all these, you know, and I would never say this on the radio, but we could say it here. There was all these rumors that maybe it was something about, you know, a woman or something about money or something. I mean, those are the things that are hot button issues because Draymond hadn't got his contract yet. Jordan had just gotten his contract. So maybe it was like, I'm getting the money, you're not getting the money. Or some people speculated that it was about, he was saying something about a woman or something like that. I mean, there are only certain things that as much as you can get heated about a teammate, if it's about women, if it's about money, those are probably the hot button issues, especially for Draymond Green. And don't get me going on a Draymond Green thing. I saw the other day, I think I took it out of my notes, and maybe this doesn't matter at all. Maybe I'm just piling on Draymond and it's not fair. I don't know. Yeah, here it is right here. Did you see this the other day? This was Friday. Draymond Green has held exploratory talks with NBC, Amazon, ESPN for potential media career after retirement. Now, maybe that's what guys do, and we're just not aware of it. I just hate that that kind of stuff gets out, because what does it do? It makes you think, well, is Draymond dedicated to this, or is he already looking at post-career opportunities? Now, you and I can do certain things. Like, okay, we're competent in the job that we do, more than competent in the job that we do. We do it well, as a matter of fact. And then we're looking at other things. Everybody, especially in today's day and age, you got to do more than one thing to make ends meet a lot of times. It doesn't mean you can't focus on your job. So I looked at that with Draymond, and I just think when it goes public like that, you're like, ugh. So I'm not trying to pile on Draymond Green. It's just, you look at that situation, he 100% lost them Jordan Poole. How much better would they be? I don't know. Would they be top of the conference? I don't know. Would they be better than they are now? I think so. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Again, he's not perfect. He's inconsistent. He doesn't play great defense. He's on Washington, which is a totally different situation. So let me go to this just because it was, I did put more LA, so we can continue to talk about Jordan Poole. But since senior softball games popped this up, let me just bring this up really quick. I like how he's not talking Giants today. It's going to be a shit show this year. They dropped the ball in signing free agents. The only reason I have more LA there at the bottom, and if you weren't here for the Saturday show, I completely understand. I wanted to sleep in as well, but I feel like we're going to do a Saturday show now. People popped out for it. I'm going to continue to do it until people don't want to do it. I think it's great. And I will get back to JP because there's a lot of interesting stuff, and we'll recap the NFL if you just joined the show as well. We'll go back to the Mahomes stuff, play that again for you. But just real quick on the Giants. The thing I did on Saturday was I went on this whole thing about don't blame the Dodgers, blame baseball. They're the ones who allow deferrals. The Dodgers are the ones who spend money. The Giants, I think I still have this in my notes. And I won't do this long because, like you said, I don't really want to get too much into the Giants. But Major League Baseball payroll is right there. The Dodgers have jumped out. That's before the Tanner Scott and Suzuki signings. Not that Suzuki's big, but my point is that if you look at the Giants there at 13, they're sandwiched between two teams and the Cubs and the Red Sox that do the same thing the Giants do. They figure fans are going to come out anyway. Why spend the money? The Cubs are the third largest media market in the country. The Giants are the fourth largest media market in the country and the single largest for a single baseball team in the market. Boston is a major market that has lots of money, and they've just decided, you know what, we're just not going to spend it. We're just not going to do it. We don't want to do it. Now, the Cubs, I don't understand the Cubs at all. They have Marquee Sports Network, and they don't have any competition. The White Sox aren't competition at all. The White Sox actually are spending less money than the A's. The White Sox are no competition whatsoever. So essentially, the Cubs are single market. They absolutely dominate, and they have an owner that came out over the weekend, Tom Ricketts, who said, we're just trying to break even. It's like, oh, great. But you have those three teams right in the middle, so it's frustrating. And my point in saying all this is I'm not trying to praise the Dodgers. I'm not. But they spend the money. They decide they want to win. And I've told you this before. I think the Giants are trying to turn turnstiles. Hey, look it. We got to Willy Adames. And then you think to yourself, well, they've got to get more, but they're not. Hey, we got your 43-year-old Justin Verlander. So, yeah, it's frustrating. Because not only did they get Suzuki over the weekend, they got Tanner Scott, who is the best reliever on the market. And I was all wanting – I wanted Tanner Scott. Because if you're going to put Jordan Hicks back in the rotation – Tanner Scott with a revamped Duvall and with Ryan Walker. Yes, please. Tanner Scott's good. And they gave him a ton of money. I mean, these reliever numbers are going up. I think it was $65 million. They're deferring a bunch of the money. And everybody's screaming and yelling, damn Dodgers, deferral money. Anybody could do it. Anybody could put players on a credit card like the Dodgers are doing. They just choose not to. And I don't mean to defend the Dodgers, and I know it's going to piss you off, but they've decided, you know what, we'll put guys on a credit card and we'll worry about it later. Any team could do it, but nobody wants to, you know, pay Bobby Bonilla for 25 years. I completely understand that rationale, but the way it's going, here's the Giants' thought process, whether it's right or wrong. Not going to defer payments, not going to go pitching contracts over 5 years, and not going to go double digits for position players. That's what they've decided to do. Now, that's fine, but that philosophically, now I know they tried with Correa. I don't think that they would do that again. They just don't want to do it. They've got burned in the past. They don't want to do it, and there's a lot of teams like that. Nope, not going more than 5 years on a pitcher, not going double digits on a position player, and not going to defer money. That's a decision that you make. And that's what I look at with the Giants. They gave Buster Posey the amount of money to go get a shortstop, which was their number one need. But yet it must be that Jack Flaherty is asking for too much money. It must be that Bryce Eldridge is their only competent prospect that anybody wants in any kind of trade for a true number two starter. It doesn't look good. The Padres didn't have a great offseason either, but they're still better than the Giants. The Diamondbacks get Corbin Burns, a guy that the Giants could have stepped up and gotten, and he wanted too many years and too much money, even though the Giants are a much bigger market. Now, he wanted to go home, there's no question, but he didn't go home for nothing. That contract from the Diamondbacks is still over $200 million. So it's not like you went, oh, well, guy, just the guy wanted to go home. I mean, what are you going to do? Well, he would have probably come here if it was, if you offered him more than, what was that deal, $206 million, something like that, whatever it was. Now, again, maybe you're happy that the Giants didn't do that. Maybe you believe in Birdsong, and maybe you believe in Kyle Harrison and all those kind of things, and I'm going to have egg on my face. And that's the way it goes. But if I want to pop that up one more time, if you look at payroll, there is no salary cap in baseball. And the number and the way you get penalized is nowhere near as bad as what happens in the NBA. So look at the teams that are winning. Philly's in the top there. LA is now. That's a day old. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Phillies all make the playoffs. The Mets are at least trying, which is all you can ask from your owner. Houston's not a bigger market than San Francisco. Texas won the World Series the year before last. Toronto's trying to get people to take their money, but they won't. The Padres aren't a bigger market. They were in the playoffs. Atlanta isn't a bigger market. They were in the playoffs. The only team that you start looking at right there is 10 with the Angels, and they're a complete dumpster fire. They are technically in LA, but come on, let's be honest. There's no way Arizona should have a higher payroll than you. And then, like I said, 12, 13, 14 are three teams going, the turnstile's a move. We don't need to be better. We're fine. In Chicago, San Francisco, and Boston, they're trying to turn turnstiles. I really believe that, because all three of those markets could spend more money. They decide not to. So that's kind of how baseball works right now. If you have a higher payroll, you generally are going to win. And by the way, the Giants are about $35 million under the salary tax threshold. $35 million. So what would that buy you? Couple of players that would buy you a number two starter for sure, and then something else, right fielder, first baseman, whatever the case may be. Maybe they have something up their sleeve. But as you said, thank God he's not talking baseball, so I won't do that anymore. That's all. I didn't mean to get all angry on that, but it's frustrating. I don't think there's any doubt. Daniel says that you are embracing the A's, the Sacramento A's. They are putting a Sacramento A's patch on their side, by the way. I did see that over the weekend. So there you go. By the way, somebody talking about deviled eggs. Oh my God. So good. Wow. Look at that. Very nice. I haven't checked any skills report. I haven't checked any news, nor have I. Anything going on today? I guess I should. Very nice to see you. Joy is leaving us. That's a bummer. Sorry, man. Good to see you. Who else is in here today? Let me see what else we got. Do we got any new news going on today? Just people were talking about it. I haven't seen anything new. Haven't heard anything. And you guys usually alert me to those kind of things. Domino Lenore wants, they're not getting Max Crosby. That was one thing I saw over the weekend as well. There is no doubt Draymond Green truly is sorry about the Jordan Poole incident. The Warriors organization still has yet to recover from, according to Monty Poole. I get Monty on the show. He's absolutely great. What else do we have here? I guess nothing new. All right, that's good. What did we miss on a Monday? We talked all about Patrick Mahomes. We talked about the Andrews drop. Let's go over the chalkboard here. Daniels was great. Lions, I don't feel bad for. Mahomes and the refs, the Eagles, the Bills. Who are you rooting for in the Final Four, and who are you rooting for? Are you rooting against? Am I right in my thought that it's Bills for everybody? Bills won, and last would be Eagles, right? I mean, right? If you went 1-4, it'd probably be Bills, Commanders. Definitely. Chiefs last, of course, not Eagles. Chiefs last. Bills, Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs. Is that right? Bills, Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs. That's what it would be around here, I think. Am I wrong in that? Am I wrong in that thought? That's what we want. We definitely don't want the Chiefs, and we definitely don't want the Eagles. And if the Bills or Commanders won it, we'd be okay with that, right? I think that's about right. Oh, I didn't know this, Todd. Roger Goodell was on the Kelsey podcast. Still says no doubt. Yeah, they're going to 18 games. I mean, 17 doesn't make any sense. Because it's like one year, you're 9 home games, 8 road games, and then it flips. It's got to be 9-9. And all they have to do with the players union is say, how much money are you giving us, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. It was always going to be 18. 2 preseason games, 18 regular season games, 2 byes is what they're going to make it to. And that just extends out the season. So, yeah, it was always going to be that. Absolutely 100%. What else do we have? Anything else today on a Monday? Very busy NFL day. Don't go anywhere, because what I'm going to do is, I think tonight, because the Warriors have the Celtics tonight, we got a national championship game. What do you think about popping back in here tonight? You want to come back? Because I always talk about, thank you, Daniel. I always talk about wanting to come back at night. And I thought to myself, well, let's do it tonight, because you got a national championship game that everybody's into. You got the Celtics in town, which I don't feel great about with the Warriors, but that's one of the big games. I always told you that I would do select games. And so I thought, you know what? Let's double up tonight. So let's do that. So if you're around, please keep your alerts on. If you keep your alerts on, then, look at SF Niners 808 in Hawaii. Very cool, man. If you keep your alerts on, I'll tell you when I'm going to come on. I don't know exactly when I'm going to come on, but let's do post college football championship game and post Warriors Celtics on this day. Let's double up today. Today's a perfect day to do that kind of stuff, because I told you, select post game shows. Is that true, Tacky Santander to the Blue Jays? Is that true? Somebody actually took the Blue Jays money? I didn't think he was never coming here. There was no buzz around Santander as coming to the Giants. So I think we hit everything. NFL weekend, Daniels, Lions, Mahomes and the refs, Eagles, Bills, Lamar, Poole coming back. They've got to regret that trade. I'm going to get Monty Poole on the show. More LA over the weekend, Suzuki and now Tanner Scott. I didn't have a caboose for you today, so I owe you a caboose tomorrow. All right, make sure that you are please, please, please subscribing to the podcast. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We'll hit that right after we get out of here today. Do remember as well to subscribe. If you want to become a Lund Loyalist, I will absolutely positively make it worth your while. Thank you so much for that as well. The new website is up. I'm still tweaking, so it's not exactly perfect, but if you're looking for all things Unleashed, just go to johnlundunleashed.com. We are live every day, 8 a.m., not only here on YouTube, but on X and Instagram as well, so make sure that you check that out. Lots of different ways that you can check out the show. So I'm looking at X right now. I'm looking at Instagram right now as well. So I'm looking at all these people. Petey Petros is in here as well. T. Harris is here. Steve is in here. 3033 is in here. So 49ers Ben. So thanks everybody for hanging out in that room as well. I'll try to get to everybody. I think that is about it. So we have done some damage. Make sure you come back tonight. We'll be live on X, Instagram, and YouTube. Make sure that you are subscribing and telling all your friends as well about the show, unless you don't like it, and then just keep it to yourself. We will see you tonight. Thanks for hanging out on a Monday edition of the show, John Lund Unleashed. Check it out at johnlundunleashed.com. Subscribe and like on YouTube. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tonight after the national championship game and after Warriors Celtics.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!